Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark.
If you'd like to turn it, I love that song, one of my favorite songs. I feel a little bit like a groupie. My favorite group to hear is probably the Ball Brothers. I shouldn't say probably because they're here. It is the Ball Brothers. The first time I heard them was at Rochester. I heard them on CD, but I heard them at Rochester Hills Baptist a few years back. On a Sunday night, they were doing their Teen Revolution recap service. And we had afternoon services, so our family went over there. And from that moment, I said, I want them to come to Emmanuel. And we saw them again at Teen Revolution about a year and a half ago. And I called Pastor Tracy, and I said, we've got to get these guys. He said, try to get them booked. So I've been trying for a year and a half. And it's amazing how things work out the way you don't think that they're going to work out. For instance, the other night I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, and my sinus, right side of my sinus was hurting, and it was clogged. I don't know what was going on. It never happened before, and my face was in pain. I know, the joke, my face is killing you. But and my face was hurting me. So I woke up, and I was wrestling around in the bed, and my wife, she's like, what's going on? I said, this side of my face hurts, you know, and it's clogged or something. And she goes, and I had gotten up, I had tried nose spray, I tried all these things, and she said, well, run up and down the stairs. And how many of you know to run up and down the stairs when your nose is clogged? My wife is a genius. So I said, okay. So at 4-something in the morning, I was running up and down our basement stairs. About 5 times, it started to clear up. I said, this is great. I go back to bed. A couple minutes later, I'm resting on it. It's clogged up again. And she says, so I got up from bed again, and I walked, and I went to the stairs, and I ran up and down the stairs. I don't think my kids heard me, but I was running up and down the stairs. And finally, it seems like it cleared up a little bit, so I went back to bed. So this is all before 5 o'clock. It's about 4:45 in the morning. I'm still wrestling around, and she goes, why don't you go to the gym? And I said, okay, so I went to the gym and I ran it off and it worked. You know, things don't work the way that we think they should work. Now you all know if you get a stuffy nose, run up and down the stairs. So I told Pastor that story. He says, you got to work that into your sermon Sunday night. And I said, I don't know how to work it in. So there you go. but things don't always work the way that we think that they should work out. In fact, for a year and a half now, I've been trying to get, we met at Teen Revolution 2 years ago. And I went to Andrew and I said, we would love to have you come to our church in Michigan. I said, if you're ever in the area and need somewhere to go, give us a call. And so then I went back to him again this year at Teen Revolution. And I said, we haven't heard from you yet. And it just hadn't worked out. Well, this week I got a phone call. I got a phone call from Jeff Harper, who's from the Harper Agency. And he says to me, he says, oh, I meant to call a different Stephen Clark. Now, that'll pretty much squish any ego that you have left. He's not only is there another Stephen Clark he knows, he wanted to call the other one. And I said, you know, while I got you on the phone, I said, we still would love to have the Ball Brothers. Jeff Harper, their Harper Agency is the ones that set us up with Tribute Quartet a few months back. And so I said, we'd still love to get the Ball Brothers. He said, I'll see, you know, I'll work on that. About that Friday, about noon, we were emailing back and forth, and I got an email from him saying, hey, I just got off the phone with Daniel or Andrew, I'm not sure which one, and he said, they have an opening Sunday night, would you like to have them? We know it's really short notice. I said, I had to ask first, you know, like, the kid going to their parents said, Pastor, can we have him? He said, sure, let's do it. And we are so thankful. It worked out in a way we wouldn't think. But you know, a lot of things in life work out the way we don't. We don't think that they're going to work out. You know, we're in Acts chapter 17, there's a birth of something new. Jeff, if you can put that back up there for me, I'd appreciate it. But there's a birth of something new. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 1, it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. You know, there is, in this passage, there is the birth of something new. We're in when I preach here in Emmanuel, I'm starting a series on 1 Thessalonians, and this is really the birth of a church. This is where this birth of this church at Thessalonica began. And it began because a man and his missionary team, Paul and Silas, Luke, and maybe Timothy, they went to Thessalonica. Now, why did they go to Thessalonica? They went there, it says, because there was a synagogue there. Paul's manner, what he would do is he'd go into the synagogue, and he would reason with the Jews. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The Bible says, and when Paul went there, as his manner was, he reasoned with them, opening, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. I asked the question to our teens a few months back. I said, why did Jesus have to suffer? I mean, we talk about that he had to die for our sins, but why did he have to suffer? Well, the answer is right there in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus had to suffer. He was beaten because of my sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the penalty or the punishment to bring us peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You know, Jesus couldn't have just suffered some type of a brain aneurysm in his sleep and died. The Bible said that he had to suffer for our sins. They just sang the song. It says, "It's about every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me." Jesus must needs have suffered. And he says, Paul goes on to say, "and risen from the dead." I asked him, I said, why did he have to die? Why couldn't Jesus, if he suffered and he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, why did he have to die? Why couldn't he just suffer for our sins? Why did he have to die? And here's why, because he had to rise again. Jesus became, he became sin. In Isaiah 53:8, it says, "He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, was he stricken." Jesus had to suffer, but Jesus had to die. He had to die because in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Do you know, Jesus became sin. The Bible doesn't say that he took on part of my sin or part of your sin. But in fact, my favorite hymn, and our church knows this, my favorite verse of any hymn is, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, that my sin not in part but the whole was nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Jesus had to die because why? He became sin for us. He became all of our sin. And sin had to die. Sin could not be tolerated. And so Jesus died because he became sin for us. And so he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The penalty for my sin was placed on him. And that's how I have peace through him. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all the souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, and also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But why did he have to rise again? We're coming up 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday, as we call it here Resurrection Sunday, 2 weeks away from today. Why did Jesus have to die on that night, on that afternoon? Why did he have to die? Well, he had to suffer, he had to die for my sins. But why did he have to rise again? He had to rise again for a few reasons. But number one, to prove he is who he said he was. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he would be no different than Buddha. He'd be no different than any other god that people worship that died and is not living anymore. I serve a risen Savior. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus said that he became sin for us. He died for us. And he arose again. You know what that's called? That's called the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the gospel, and it said that Jesus, he lived a perfect sinless life. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He also said that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith would be vain. 1 Corinthians 15:16 says, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if the Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." All the time that we spend preparing for our Sunday services, all the time these guys spend on the road, all the time they spend singing and preparing and working on CDs would be in vain had Jesus not risen from the dead. Our faith would be nothing. And so Paul goes to Thessalonica, and he goes with a simple message. In fact, it says that he opened and alleged, what good are our services if we don't open God's word and allege that Jesus must needs have died, suffered, and risen from the dead? What good would it do? Paul went, and his missionary team with him, and they were bold. In fact, he says that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. This Jesus, they would have understood that word in the Old Testament word to be the Messiah. And he says, this Jesus that I preach unto you is the Messiah. No doubt we have record that some of the people believed, it says in verse number 4, and some of them believed and consorted or came alongside and teamed up with Paul and Silas. And we need that from each other. We need to team up with each other. A new Christian needs to team up with people who have grown up or who have spent time and grown in their Christian walk. These people consorted with them. And here's what I think happened. I think after 3 weeks, for whatever reason, Paul stopped going to the synagogue. I don't know if it was because this was his tradition and after 3 weeks he would stop going, or if it was because they kicked him out. But he stopped going. And I think those people stopped going with him. They stopped going. They said, you know what? This guy's got the truth. And we have the truth. And here's what happens. Their lives were changed. Those people that believed, as we have record of in verse number 4, those people that believed in Christ, their lives were changed. You know, today, each one of us has the opportunity. If you've never been saved, you have the opportunity today. Today is a day of salvation. You have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the opportunity to have a life change. You have an opportunity to believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection. Why? Because he died, he suffered, he suffered, bled, and died for your sins. He suffered and bled and died for my sins. Because of that, he says, I've offered you a gift. As Brother Chad, if you were here last night, he said, you know, this is a gift, but it doesn't become yours until it's accepted. You have the opportunity tonight to accept the gift of salvation. To as many as received him, the Bible says, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have the opportunity tonight to accept the Lord as your Savior. If you're saved, we have the opportunity and responsibility to go like Paul did and tell people. I titled this The Birth of Something New. We witness here the birth of new creatures. The Bible says that when we accept Christ, when we become one of his children, we are a new creation. We are something new. We witnessed in this passage the birth of a new creation. We also witnessed the birth of a new church. And as much as salvation is the number one decision you'll ever make in your life, another great important decision is, where will you go to church? The church, the local church, is critical in the lives of God's people. If you know the Lord is your Savior tonight and you don't have a church that's your home church, you need to have one. You need to find a good church. This is a good one. If you have your own church, you need to be in your own church. That's your place. But listen, we have the birth here of a church at Thessalonica. And if you read the first couple of verses of 1 Thessalonians, the 2 Thessalonians, you'll find out there's great things going on at this church. And so there's a birth of the new church. But listen, if you've never been born again, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to do that tonight. Because listen, I will pray that you don't have peace tonight. You can't go to sleep until you settle that matter in your heart before the Lord. We're gonna have an invitation. At Emmanuel, we always have an invitation. We always give the gospel, we always have an invitation because we feel like we'd be wrong not to do that. We're gonna have a hymn of invitation. Miss Bonnie, if you'll come up and play, we're gonna sing just a verse or two of Just As I Am. And if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, I invite you to do that tonight. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you said, I'm not living the life I should be. I'm not in the Lord's church. I'm not a member of a church. I'm not serving him. I need to do that. I invite you to get that right with him tonight. But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I invite you to do that as we sing Just As I Am.
We hope you've been blessed by Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com. www.emmanuelmissionarybaptistchurch.com.